This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
So GLP-1 drugs, right? Like, not exactly a new topic for us at this point.
Right. We've been following the research on them for a while now.
First, it was all about diabetes. Then, bam, weight loss takes center stage. And now?
Now it's addiction treatment. It seems like every time we turn around, there's something new about these medications.
It's wild. And that's what we're diving into today, listener.
Yeah.
This whole new frontier of GLP-1 drugs as potential game changers in the fight against addiction.
We've been digging into a mountain of studies, articles, even some anecdotal accounts. And it's honestly pretty exciting stuff.
Okay, so for anyone who might be tuning in for the first time, maybe they've been living under a rock and haven't heard about GLP-1s, can you give us a quick rundown of what they are and how they were initially used?
Sure. GLP-1 stands for glucagon-like peptide 1. It's a hormone that's naturally produced in the gut.
And it helps regulate blood sugar levels, right?
Right, which is why GLP-1 receptor agonists, as these drugs are known, were first developed for treating type 2 diabetes.
Exactly. They basically help the pancreas release the right amount of insulin after you eat.
Yes.
But then researchers stumbled upon this, well, pretty surprising effect on weight loss.
It was definitely an unexpected finding. Researchers discovered that GLP-1 drugs could also lead to weight loss by slowing down gastric emptying, basically, how quickly food moves from your stomach into your intestines, reducing appetite and influencing the brain's hunger and satiety signals.
So you don't feel as hungry and you feel fuller for longer.
Exactly. And that's how they ended up being approved for treating obesity as well.
And now we're seeing this really fascinating connection to addiction treatment.
Mm-hmm.
What even got researchers looking into that in the first place?
Well, it all started with these anecdotal reports from patients who are taking GLP-1 drugs for either weight loss or diabetes.
No.
And they started noticing that their cravings for alcohol or drugs were decreasing.
Wait, so they were taking these medications for one thing, and then suddenly, bam, their cravings were just gone.
Not completely gone, no, but definitely significantly reduced, at least according to what these patients were reporting. And that really piques the interest of researchers.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. So they started to investigate whether there was actually a scientific basis for this connection.
Exactly. And it turns out there's a strong biological basis for this link.
Okay, so what did they find? Tell us.
Researchers discovered that GLP-1 receptors, those things that the GLP-1 drugs bind to, are actually present in areas of the brain that we know are involved in reward processing and addiction.
Interesting.
Particularly a region called the mesolimbic dopamine system.
Okay, time for a quick and painless neuroscience lesson. What exactly is the mesolimbic dopamine system, and why should we care?
Well, think of it like your brain's reward pathway. Whenever you do something pleasurable, like eating a delicious meal, having sex, achieving a goal, anything that feels good, this pathway in your brain gets activated, and it releases dopamine.
Dopamine, that feel-good chemical, right?
Yes. And that dopamine is what creates those feelings of pleasure and reinforces that behavior, making you want to do it again.
So we're basically hardwired to seek out things that make us feel good. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But how does addiction fit into all of this?
That's where things get a bit more complicated. Addictive substances like drugs and alcohol, they really hijack this reward pathway. They basically flood your brain with dopamine way more than you'd ever get from those natural rewards, creating this really intense surge of pleasure.
Ah, so it's not just about willpower or making good choices. It's actually about your brain chemistry.
Precisely. Over time, your brain gets accustomed to this artificial surge of dopamine from the substance and becomes less responsive to natural rewards.
So you need more and more of the substance to achieve that same feeling of pleasure.
Exactly, leading to tolerance and dependence.
And that's where the GLP-1 drugs might come in. By influencing this reward pathway that's been, hijacked by addiction?
That's the idea. Preclinical studies, so these are studies done in animals, have shown that GLP-1 agonists can actually modulate the dopamine signaling in those key brain regions we were talking about.
Modulate, meaning?
Meaning they can kind of fine-tune it. Imagine it like turning down the volume on an overly loud speaker. The GLP-1 drugs might not completely eliminate the pleasurable effects of addictive substances, but they could potentially dampen them enough to weaken that really strong grip of addiction.
Fascinating. So yeah. Instead of just addressing the behavioral aspects of addiction, like with therapy, GLP-1s, might actually be tackling it at a much more fundamental level, like the neurochemical level.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that makes this research so incredibly promising. We're not just treating the symptoms, we're potentially addressing those underlying mechanisms of addiction.
Which is a really big deal.
It is. And one of the most compelling pieces of evidence for this comes from a recent study that was published in the journal Addiction. They looked at the impact of GLP-1 drugs on both alcohol and opioid use.
Okay, let's dive into that study because I know a lot of our listeners are probably eager to hear about the specifics. What exactly did they find?
So this study focused on people who had both substance use disorders and either obesity or type 2 diabetes. They tracked these individuals over several months, and they compared those who were prescribed GLP-1 medications to those who weren't.
So what happened? Spill the tea.
Well, the results were pretty interesting. The group that was taking GLP-1 drugs actually showed a significantly lower risk of both alcohol intoxication and opioid overdose.
Significantly lower? Like, how much lower are we talking?
We're talking a 50% lower risk of alcohol intoxication.
Whoa.
And a 40% lower risk of opioid overdose.
Wow. Okay. Those are some pretty big... That's not just a small improvement. That's, like, potentially life-saving for people who are struggling with addiction.
Exactly. And it really drives home the point that these medications are actually working on a biological level to influence those reward pathways. They're not just, you know, masking the problem or something. They seem to be helping to actually rewire the brain's response to those substances.
Yeah, it's not just a band-aid solution. It's more like, what, rewiring the circuitry or something.
Exactly.
This is starting to sound a lot like personalized medicine, which is something we talk about a lot on this show.
It is. And that's one of the most exciting things about all of this research. Imagine a future where doctors could use genetic testing or even brain imaging to figure out which individuals are most likely to benefit from GLP-1 therapy.
So moving away from that kind of one-size-fits-all approach to addiction treatment,
right,
towards something that's more tailored to the individual.
Right. We could see GLP-1 drugs being used along with other therapies, things like cognitive behavioral therapy or motivational interviewing, to create a truly personalized treatment plan.
It's like giving people this whole extra set of tools in their toolbox for fighting addiction. But we've seen this before, right? Where a new medication comes out, it shows a lot of promise. But then there are all these unforeseen side effects or limitations. What are some things we should be thinking about when it comes to GLP-1s and addiction treatment? What are some of the things that we need to be cautious about?
You're right to be cautious. It's important to remember that this is still relatively early in the research process. What we really need now are large-scale, long-term studies. Those are key to really confirm these initial findings and figure out the long-term safety and efficacy of GLP-1 drugs specifically for addiction.
Because, I mean, what works in a lab setting or even in a smaller study, it doesn't always translate perfectly to the real world, right?
Right. We need to understand how these medications work in different groups of people with different types of function and over longer periods of time.
And are there any potential downsides, like side effects?
Yeah, that's important to consider too. Like any medication, GLP-1 drugs can have some side effects. The most common ones tend to be gastrointestinal things like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea.
Oh yeah, not fun.
No, not fun at all. But the good news is that those usually go away with time.
Okay, that's good.
But yeah, side effects are definitely something to keep in mind.
And of course, there's always the issue of cost. I mean, these medications aren't exactly cheap. And we wouldn't want to create a situation where only people who can afford it have access to this potentially, you know, life-changing treatment.
Right. That's a huge point. Equitable access to treatment is essential. If GLP-1 drugs really do turn out to be this effective for treating addiction, then we need to make sure that everyone who could benefit from them can actually get them, regardless of their socioeconomic status.
It's like that thing we always say, scientific progress needs to go hand in hand with social responsibility. But let's take a step back for a second. We've been really focused on the specifics of these medications, mm-hmm. you know, how they work in the brain, the studies that have been done. But I'm also curious about the bigger picture here. How could all of this research change how we as a society think about addiction?
That's a really important question. Addiction has been stigmatized for far too long. People think of it as a moral failing, a weakness of character. But this research just reinforces what scientists have been saying for years. Addiction is a complex medical condition. It's rooted in brain chemistry.
It's not a choice. It really takes all the blame and shame out of the equation. And hopefully that'll encourage more people to actually seek help without, you know, feeling judged.
Absolutely. And it also just like opens up this whole new world of possibilities for prevention and treatment, right? Like if we can actually identify the biological factors that might make someone more vulnerable to addiction, then we can intervene earlier, maybe even prevent it from developing in the first place.
Yeah, instead of just reacting after someone's already struggling, we could be more proactive. We could get ahead of it.
Exactly. A more preventative approach, which could be, you know, huge, not just for individuals who are struggling with addiction, but for society as a whole.
It's like, with this research, we're starting to see this real potential for actually changing the course of addiction. Pretty amazing when you think about it, right?
Right.
Started with a hormone that regulates blood sugar, and now we're talking about potentially revolutionizing addiction treatment.
It really just goes to show the power of, you know, scientific curiosity, of just following the science wherever it leads us, even if it takes us down these totally unexpected paths.
Exactly. And it often does, right? Science is full of surprises. So where do we go from here? What are the next steps in this whole research process? And what should we be looking out for in the, you know, coming months, years, whatever?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to see those large-scale, long-term clinical trials. Those are really key for confirming these initial findings and figuring out the best way to use GLP-1 drugs in addiction treatment. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the most effective protocols? How do these medications work in combination with other therapies? You know,
because there's probably not going to be just one right answer for everyone.
Yeah.
Right. Addiction is complex.
Exactly. It's not one size fits all. So, yeah, we need to figure out how to create these kind of like multifaceted approaches that really address both the biological and the psychosocial aspects of addiction. And of course, you know, we can't forget about those cost and accessibility issues that we talked about. We have to make sure that if these treatments are effective, that everyone who could benefit from them can actually get them.
It's like we're putting together this big, complicated puzzle, and we've got some of the pieces now, but we still have to figure out how they all fit together.
Definitely a very complex puzzle and a constantly evolving one too, but that's what makes this whole area of research so compelling.
It is, and it's a good reminder that, you know, science is a journey, not a destination. There's always more to learn, more to discover. We're not there yet.
Absolutely. And when it comes to addiction, I think it's an incredibly exciting time to be doing this research, because it really does feel like we're on the verge of this like major paradigm shift in how we think about and treat it. It's pretty amazing, honestly.
It really is. Like, we've been kind of wandering in the dark for so long, and now we're finally starting to see a glimmer of light. And who knows what we'll find when we get there, right? What amazing breakthroughs might be just around the corner. So, listener, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of GLP-1 drugs and their potential in addiction treatment. As always, this is just the beginning of the conversation. Keep those questions coming, keep exploring, and stay curious. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things and not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.